Father, we want to thank you once again today for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your infallible, unshakable word. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to receive your word that will penetrate our spirit and give us understanding and help us to know your purposes and your plans that you have for us. Change us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God wrote your future according to his purpose. There is a future that is hidden in Jesus Christ. It is already planned, pre-planned by God. And it is out there. There are many in the world, they seek the wizards and the witches. They contact witchcraft to know their future. Everybody is so anxious to know about their future. But here, God says in his word that he has a purpose, he has a plan. In fact, if you are a child of God, your future events have been pre-planned, already written by God Almighty. 2 Timothy 1:8-9. 2 Timothy, first chapter, 8 and 9. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. Now that verse ends with the word God. So you can connect that word with the other scripture. God who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God who has called us and who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. If you are born again, you are called. Your salvation has to do with your translation into the kingdom of God. You are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, Colossians 1:13. But your calling has to do with the specific work that God has preordained before the foundation of the world. So if you are saved, if you are born again, if you have passed from death to life and darkness to light and from the power of Satan into the kingdom of God, you are called for a specific work. Please settle this in your heart. This is so vitally, so important for every child of God. Lack of knowledge of this will cause many frustration, boredom, all kinds of dissatisfaction in life. If you know that you are truly born again, you should know that you're called of God. You're called by God for a specific work. There is no accident. If you have become a member of the family of God, God has an individual plan for your life. And that must thrill everyone. That must excite you that God has called you for a specific work. It's not a company, it's not a member of parliament or a minister who has called you. He has something special for you in this life. One of the great tragedies in the Christian churches, the churches all over the world, is that the children of God, born again Christians, do not see their very own importance. They think that they are, you know, that they're just one in the whole big iceberg, whatever. I mean, just one sand I am. They think very low of themselves. But you are very special because God has called you. And that's why he saved you. So if you are saved, you are called. The call of God is not something that is pinned on or tacked on to your salvation. It is a part of salvation. You cannot separate your salvation experience or your born again experience and the call that's on your life. You can't separate them. You see, they are together. If you see in this way, you will truly be excited and you will want to know exactly why God has called you. So calling is a part of your salvation. Now, your calling will always set boundaries to your life, your limits, everything, what you eat, what you wear, where you go with, about your friends, what you see, what you read, everything, there will be boundaries. Everything will be affected by it because of the call. True that because there's no knowledge of the call of God, many born-again children of God live a very shallow life. They live just to please the pastor or just to go on a Sunday. They are so used to the Sunday service, so they are very focused on that. And they are deceptively satisfied. Now, so let's leave the salvation part. Let's focus on the calling. The calling. Now, this verse says, God has called us. It is not man, it is not an angel, it is not a prime minister or a president, it is a creator. God himself has called you. He has called you. Now, our calling, this calling is a holy calling. That also included in the verse 2 Timothy 1, 8 and 9. It's a holy calling. 2 Peter 1:10 says, it is a personal call. It is very personal. 2 Peter 1 chapter verse 10. Wherefore rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Can you see that? It is personal. It's very personal. Your calling. It is a high calling. It's not something very small or whatever people may think. It's a very high calling. Do you see that way? Do you really meditate on that? When God says it's a high calling, at least you accept that. Philippians 3:14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, the call of God comes to us through salvation, through Jesus Christ. It's a very high calling. Sad that many do not consider that way. That's why they don't catch it. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 1. That one says, this calling is from heaven. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Can you see that? The call is from heaven. Can you believe heaven has called you? Can you take that into your heart? Now, God has called us not according to our works, but according to his purpose and his favor, grace. Now, he never depends. Now, our calling does not depend on our ability. You know, in Exodus chapter 3, when Moses was talking with the Lord and he was giving all kinds of excuses. But he could not speak, and probably he was considering his age. And he said, who am I to go and get the people free from Egyptian, the Pharaoh? So God knew that, as if God didn't know that, you know. God knew, but God said, Moses, I'm going to be with you. And I will put the words in your mouth. So with God, that's why the Bible says in 1st chapter Luke For with God, nothing is impossible. It doesn't say to God. With. Now, our ability, our strength, our sufficiency is from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 5. So if you say, well, I can't do this and all that, God says, no, I'll give you grace. I will give you the power. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 5. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. It is He who has made us able. We are sufficient in Him. See? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 26. Say, God purposely chose the weak things of this world. 1 Corinthians chapter 26. For you see your calling, brethren. Now consider your calling. What were you doing at that time? What was your condition? God is asking you. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things which are. Why did He do this? The next verse, that no flesh should glory in His presence. That was the reason. So even though Moses was used to bring Egypt, the people of Israel from Egypt, he cannot boast that he did it. God Himself said, with a mighty hand, He is not going to get those people, leave those people and send them away. No, no, no. So that's why God chooses rather than you and I have a place in His work. Praise the Lord. God has a special distinctive purpose for every born-again child. And He has added His grace to go with it. His favor. We are not going to do alone. So don't worry, how am I going to do this? If you are called to do something, God will give you the grace. He will give you the favor. And most of the time the favor will come at the time just before you get up and do something. Let's say you are asked to share something and then you are trembling and shivering but that when you go just after a minute or so, you start speaking, you don't know how you finished it. You have that experience? Are you here listening? God gives grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. You see, when we are proud, we don't need Satan. It's an astounding fact. God becomes our enemy. He says, I will resist. Let it be anyone. Proud, he cannot stand. Grace or the favor of God begins when our ability, our strength finishes. Paul almost came to a dead end and he said, Lord, I just can't bear this. Take this thing away. This thorn. Three times he prayed and begged and all that. And Jesus came and said, what did he say? My grace is sufficient and it is made perfect in your weakness. So His power, His favor, grace begins when we come to an end. Our strength. Now grace is given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. The call of God and the grace is together given. Romans 8, 29, 30. I tell you, I will want to listen to this message till the Lord comes or the Lord calls me. Because there cannot be anything best for you. There cannot be anything so important for you. Even the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all is given in order to fulfill your calling. Whether you are in a member of a church or you're a pastor or whatever it may be. You are a worship leader. You are a Sunday school teacher. You know, it is because of His call. God will add the gifts and He will give you favor. Romans 8:29-30. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among the brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. God's call started way back behind. His plan, his purposes. He foreknew us in eternity. Now this knowledge is too much for us. As David says in Psalm 139. I mean, you know everything, O Lord, even before I was formed. You knew me. You saw everything. Jeremiah chapter 1. So God knew you and me before the foundation of the world. In eternity, he knew us. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Can there be an accident here? And can you imagine now, he's showing forth his ability. Lord, I cannot, I'm only a youth, I can't speak, I'm just a teenager probably. Is it I'm a youth? And God said, don't say that. Before you were formed, I knew you. This is God speaking to Jeremiah. It's the same thing true with each and every child of God. Are you born again? Your future was already written according to his purpose and plan. It is our business. It is our labor to go forward and know from God what he has for us. The blueprint is in Christ Jesus. Amen. So on the basis of his foreknowledge, God chose you and me. Not on the basis of the day of salvation we accepted him and then, oh, let me choose him. No. He foreknew us before he created anything. And when time came, he saved us. And then the choosing was done beforehand, before the foundation of the world. And Jesus said this very clearly to the disciples, John chapter 15 verse 16, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. That doesn't excite you? I can anytime say, I did not choose the Lord. The Lord chose me. For I even refused to go for the prayer meeting in January 1981. But the Lord guided me through his spirit and opened my heart because he chose me. Same thing happened to you? Then when the time came, after predestination, everything, after his choosing, writing all our plans for our life, when the time came, he called. The calling is the product, the result of foreknowledge and predestination and choice. That's a product of that. So you were born again not by accident. You were not there in the prayer meeting by accident. You did not hear that message by accident. You did not hear that the cassette message by accident, or read that the tract which contained the gospel message by accident. No. It was all planned. Just consider, think back about your, take an inventory about your family, your members of your family, your relations, your friends. See how God has called you and separated you. Look at the others. You are trying to tell the gospel to them, to many. You are praying for them. They are just maybe namesake Christians, but they are just out in the world. And their lifestyle is as no absolutely no different from that of the worldly people who does not even name the name of Jesus Christ. And why is it that you have been separated? Why is it that you have heard the gospel and then you have been born again? No accident. Because God chose you and separated you. You remember how David was chosen out of all his brothers? The others were not chosen. That's what happened. And that should excite you too. So he chose you and separated you according to his plan. You were not accidentally chosen. Samuel chose Eliab, David's brother, but God said, no, I have not chosen him. Then finally at the last, David came. And God said to Samuel, this is the man. Can you imagine God did that to you and me? He waited for the day. Now, you did not receive the revelation of God's word time and again by accident. You did not receive the teachings of God's word on and on by accident. No. You did not come into the kingdom in such a time as this by accident. Remember Mordecai saying that to Esther? Why do you think? Somebody says God keeps his best for the last. Remember, he had the best wine for the last. So why are we living in the time when Jesus Christ is about to return, the rapture is about to take place? Why is it? And how come that we are busy in many other things without knowing these secrets? You did not receive the warnings that you received by accident. You are a part of eternal plan that God had before he created the world. Whatever circumstance, whatever situation you are in right now, God knew every detail of it in advance. And it may be a part of his plan to stay there, but it may not be his plan for you to remain there. For example, it was a part of God's plan for Jesus, baby Jesus, to remain in Egypt because of Herod. But it was not his plan for baby Jesus to remain in Egypt, for the angel spoke to Joseph to leave Egypt, and then they came back to Nazareth. Are you following me? So always remember that. So don't think that, well, this is it. This is what God has. Now be very careful in listening to your soul. You got to go by your heart, listening to God's word and the Holy Spirit, and of course counsels of God's men. Every born again child of God knows and should know that he has been called. Those who know that they have been called knowingly and willingly cannot live a loose life, a normal Christian life. When I say a normal Christian, a 5 days work, come back, do your homework, whatever, the work at home, and then run to church, and then scoot off home from, shake hands with somebody. No. And goes on for months and years. When God calls us, he saves us. You know that he does not save somebody. You know, he did not save me, for example, and think, what am I going to do with me? Because the plan was already there. The plan was already written. His purpose was written. I mean, this is so important, isn't it? Well, I don't know. I don't know how you are taking this. Some of you are listening again. As I said, more to him, more is given, much is required. Don't be frightened. God has a purpose in making you to listen again. There is a purpose in everything. Now, his ministry, that is his purpose, the work in his kingdom for each and every one of us has been already prepared. For example, let's take, before that we will read Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Yeah, but read Ephesians 2:10. You know the scripture, my heart, some of you. We are God's workmanship, right? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See that? We are his workmanship. God created the sun and the moon and the stars and the animals and the birds, the seas, the trees, the flowers, everything, all the animal kingdom and everything. He created them. But when he created his masterpiece of creation, he did it with his hands. He reached out and he chose the material, the raw material from the ground. He just touched and fathomed. He shaped the body of Adam, the man. That should thrill you, isn't it? So we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Created for what? To go to church? Created for good works. I have to say that because churchianity has come so stinking, if I may use that word. So formal, powerless. Created for good works, and which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, that we should be busy in doing them. That thing, the works, that we should be engaged in those works. Are many engaged in the good works that he prepared? Or Matthew has returned back to collect taxes. Acts chapter 9 verse 13. God speaking to Ananias about Paul, and then Ananias gives his knowledge and information about Paul, that he's trying to explain to Jesus as if he did not know. I mean, this is okay. I mean, Jesus never rebuked him. But the Lord said to him, verse 15, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. See, Jesus did not think and say, well, let me wait and then, you know, find out. We'll have a meeting with my father and then see what we can do with this man now that he has surrendered his life. No, the ministry was already there. It was already pre-planned, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Can you see that? So are you not keen to know your good works God prepared beforehand? Or would you like to be satisfied? You will never be satisfied anyway. By going to Sunday service, coming back home, paying your tithes, paying your offering, getting back to your work, live to an old lady, old man, die and be buried. Would you like that? Acts chapter 13. Verse 2. Here in Antioch, that town, they were worshiping the Lord, some of God's servants. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, goodness, look at that. Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas, separate to me Barnabas and Saul, that they may without fail attend every Sunday service, that they may be good Christians, that they may give alms to the poor, that they may study the Bible, take down notes, and remain where they are and be an example to the others. Does it say that? You know why I said that? That's what is happening now. Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work. Now, can you connect this scripture with Ephesians 2:10? Good works prepared when? Beforehand, before the foundation of the world. for the work which I have called them. So there is a work to be finished, a specific work to be done by you. And if you don't do it, now I begin to believe that it will not be done. And you're going to answer. Because God kept that work for you. That's why Paul said, I am free from all your blood. Because I have preached fully the counsel of God. I did not keep back anything. I recollect now, as the late Brother Derek Prince, he was in a sick bed, probably a day or two to go, to leave his body. He asked the brother who was next to him in the hospital, with tears in his eyes, is there anything that we need to do? Is there anything that is undone still that I have not finished? Can you say that? For we need to answer. We need to give an account of our lives. Life is a gift. And every time God gives us opportunity to study the word of God, let me say this to you, whether it be anybody, God will require from us. For there are millions who have not heard the gospel, the word of God. They have not heard the name of Jesus Christ, not even once. Yeah. So important it is. So the work to which they were called, the Holy Spirit had a work for Paul and Barnabas. So he saves you in order to get you into his plan. Why did he save you and me? To get us into his what? Plan. It's a plan. I don't know, some of you may be found in some other countries. As you are listening to this word, maybe preaching the word, maybe as an evangelist, maybe as a pastor, maybe as a youth pastor, maybe a traveling evangelist. Never know, a couple of years time or even earlier than that. God's plan is so wonderful. It's never boring. Can never be boring until we are in the center of his will. As long as we are. God's faithfulness is related to his calling. You know, we have heard that God is faithful, right? But that faithfulness can be proven, experienced only in your call. You can boldly and really boast in the Lord about God's faithfulness when we are in the center of his will. We are walking in his calling. We are doing his work. And God is going to all the time come towards and prove that he is faithful. You cannot separate his faithfulness from the call that he has given to us. See, most of the Christians, they really do not test his faithfulness because they are not on his call. They are not walking in faith. They cannot have faith. They find so difficult to depend on him. The reason why many are unable to know his faithfulness is that his faithfulness is linked to his calling. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Can you see? God is faithful, by whom you were called. So faithfulness and calling is linked together. Don't try to find out that God is faithful when you're out of his will, when you're out of his calling. You're doing your own thing. You're walking in your own imaginations and your own plans and not God's plans. God's faithfulness can be experienced in the call that he had given us. Only when we come into his calling, we will fully experience his faithfulness. He is faithful to do to what he has called us for. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23-24. Chapter 5, verse 23-24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, whole, not just spirit alone, whole spirit, soul and body, be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is his purpose. This is his plan. He wants our whole person, spirit, soul and body, holy, separated, sanctified, cleansed, without any blame. He who calls you is faithful. He will also do it. Can you see that? When we are in that path of a holy life, God says, I will be faithful in helping you that you will fulfill it. So his faithfulness is connected, linked to the call, to the work, to his plan. This is so important. That's why many times that we are unable to walk in his call, to exercise faith, and also we just go on grumbling, you know, because we are not in his calling, and then we are trying to experience his faithfulness. We are trying to get God into our plan. We make the plans and then pray and then tell him, Lord, bless this plan. It's not going to work. God cannot. Now, if we are not in our calling, we cannot taste or experience his faithfulness. You see, in Numbers chapter 14, if you read verse from 1 to 3, the Israelites, they grumbled and they even accused God. Why did God bring us here? To kill us? There is nothing over here except we see the sand, and you know, we enjoyed so many things in Egypt, but look at this. And they grumbled and murmured. Why is that? Because they were not in his calling. God called them to be priests, a kingdom of priests. Exodus chapter 19. To be priests and kings for every one of them. And he was taking them to Canaan. But they were focused in their own self. Just like the present day Christians that are living today. Focused on self, self-centered, self-motivated, selfish, just using God to solve our problems. When we are in trouble, we want to call him, just like the doctor or the fire or the police, the fireman, you see. So they grumbled because they were not in his call, in his calling. And so God could not prove that he is faithful. They rebelled against his calling. They refused to go into Canaan. So he left them to their own will. This is what he does even today. He will not force. He will not compel. He's not going to shout at us. He'll just leave us alone. And that's all. And that's the most dangerous things that can happen to anybody. Very dangerous. We are called into fellowship. The ultimate purpose is to fellowship with God and to have fellowship with one another. 1 John 1:1-3. 1 John 1:1-3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen, heard, we declare to you, that also you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. You see, there are means and there are ends. You see, the ends, the things that we do for their own sake, means are things that we do for the sake of getting to an end. You see, why do we go and study and take courses, or join the school and children study for many years, and then maybe some join the university, and then after that they should do have some others who are out of even doing jobs, they want to go have a diploma course and studying further and further. There is a purpose, there is an end. Why? They want to have their salary increase, or they want to get a promotion, right? But this studying is a means. But the end is that they want to get that position. Is that how you understand? So we are studying the Bible. Why do we quote it? Going to church is a means. But the end is to have fellowship with the Father, fellowship with one another, which most of the time we don't have. We just shake hands and then we go home. If a medical student is studying for 5 years to be a doctor, that's the means. And if he is not going to lay hands on people give medicine for them or to do any surgery, he's going to say, well, I have nothing to do with any sick people. What was the purpose of his studying that? The means. Nothing. The same way today, if you can compare, there are so many Christians in churches. They're going to church, they're studying the Bible, they pay their tithes, they come back home. All over the world, they go week after week, month after month. It's a means, but they don't achieve the end. They never find out their calling. They never fit into anything. Maybe some do here and there a little bit of work, but majority, they float. Just like a inflated balloon, helium balloon. They just float. You just cut the thing off, that rope off, it's gone. Wandering in the air. So, it is the end we must always focus. Preaching is a means. It is not an end. Bible study is a means, it's not an end. Listening to messages. So the end purpose to which we arrive are these, the means, what we do to arrive at the end. Fellowship is an end. We should never be satisfied until we reach the end. Fellowship with God, intimacy, and fellowship with one another. Many today, maybe they say that they have fellowship with God in churches. They can worship alone and maybe with a little group. But most of the time, they cannot have fellowship with the others. Some even leave the churches because of one family. Because of one person. They say, this person is the Judas. Why should I stay in this church? That's it. And for them, they have already believed the lie of the devil that they are perfect. You see that? I hope you're listening. When our fellowship becomes our objective, then we experience the faithfulness of God. It has to be our objective. God called us to holiness. That we saw that in 2 Timothy 1, 8 and 9, and 1 Thessalonians 5:23, completely holy. Every part of us, spirit, soul, and body, to be holy. That is his purpose and his plan. The Bible says, he who calls you is faithful, he will also do it. So again, I want to say, his faithfulness is connected to the call of God. His faithfulness is related to his purpose and his plans. His faithfulness is in the fulfilling of your calling, your purpose. When we join hands with God, with his purpose, and God says, I will show myself faithful to you and see that you fulfill your call. Amazing, eh? Outside his calling, we cannot know that he is faithful. No. Now, earlier we read in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, He created us, we are His workmanship, masterpiece, the highest performance, to do good works. We are called to do good things for God, which He prepared beforehand. The ministry for Moses or Paul, or to take anybody, Jeremiah, anyone, it was prepared beforehand. The same thing is true for you and me. God has already written our future events, and as we join hands with Him and walk with Him, God will unfold through His Holy Spirit and the written word His purpose and His plan, step by step. It'll be revealed. Now, if we try to invent and choose our own work and ministry, we will end up in disaster. There are some who chose their own ministry in the Bible, just like Saul, and God rejected him as being king. He wanted to be priest when he was called as a king. He wanted to offer some sacrifices because Samuel got late. And also the Korah, he was looking at Moses and his position, his calling, leaving and neglecting his, and he was destroyed. And there are several others. But when you consider today, there are so many who should be evangelists, but they are pastors, they are stuck to the church. You know, the devil can show any good thing and then make them hooked on to something very good, just like Martha. Martha was doing something very good. She was not gossiping. She was not, doing some other thing of her own, for her own benefit or whatever. No, she was trying to serve the people when Jesus was there giving a Bible study, whatever. But that was not the thing to do at that time. Even though it was a good thing, as they say, some good things can be the enemy of God's best. I'm pretty sure many are caught in this line, because the devil is so smart. Even these 2,000 years after the Pentecost, it has engaged and still engaging the real called people, that they may do some other good work. When they are called as an evangelist, they are doing catering some orphan or kids, some children, or looking after some sick people. Now those things, are they good? They are really good. Of course, Jesus told us this in the Bible all the time, that we must look after the poor. But for that thing, you remember the apostles in chapter 6. You see, the devil wanted to divert them in looking after, giving food for those who were actually neglected. And immediately, Peter and John and them, they said, no, we should not be engaged in these things. It is not for us to distribute food. We should give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of God's word. You can read that in Acts chapter 6. You see that? Are you here? So the devil can make anyone to do some good work. Going to work is good. Getting married is good. Doing a house cleaning is good. Whatever it may be. But we need to know what God has asked us to do this year, this month, during these days. Where should I be? With what kind of people? There is a purpose and a plan. Specific things drawn out, written in heaven, that we should walk in them. Jesus moved perfectly according to the plan of God. Even though when they were short of that wine, He waited for God. He knew that day, He said, my time has not come. He never said, I had to ask the Father whether I could do this. No, my time has not come. He knew. He was there in that house with a purpose. Are you there? I know I'm saying certain things which just coming out of my mouth. Now, we don't need to all we need to do is that we should discover the calling which God has already planned for us. You will be a totally dissatisfied, frustrated Christian until you find out the good works for God, for which God has specifically created you. I want to say that again. Until you find out the good works which God has already preordained for you, and walk in those things, be engaged in those things, you can be temporarily think that you are blessed, and maybe you have money, you have that, you have this, and think that God has blessed you, but God's call has not been taken seriously in your life. So in reality, your heart is empty and you are dissatisfied. You're trying to cover up with all the other things and saying, well, God has blessed me. Now, when we know the good works and when God has called us for, then we will have a fearful responsibility to do it. Romans 1:14, Paul said, I am a debtor to the Gentiles. Woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel, he said also. Every believer is a debtor to the good news of Jesus Christ. Sometimes most of us, you are in need of something and then you borrow something, money or whatever. Don't we become so indebted to that person? I promised I had to give it this day. Somehow I had to keep my word. Don't we do like that? How much more when God has given us the gospel into our hands, we should be so much fearful. That's why Paul said, I'm a debtor to the Gentiles and to the rest. I'm a debtor. When you find out the good works and your calling, you will have satisfaction and fulfillment, because the plan of God is beginning to unfold. Your life will never be boring. You heard that word? Without walking in the plan of God, no Christian can live satisfied. It will be a boring life. Church will be boring. Work will be boring. Housework will be boring. Married life will be boring. Teenage life will be boring. Why? Because God has saved you now with a purpose. There is a call on your life. It was not his agenda anywhere to take anybody to heaven immediately when they are born again. If that was so, none of us will be here, those who are born again. But because of the purpose and plan that he has preordained, the good works, have you found them out? Do you know what they are? Are you striving? Are you not giving God rest? Lord, you got to please tell me, Lord. Time is running out. Paul was very smart. He immediately asked, what shall I do, Lord? Go into the city, it shall be told. He was very smart. See, how many of us have we asked like that? We say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the pastor and his wife. Thank you, Lord. And next Sunday, bless the Lord. No wonder the church has become so, what shall I say? Neither hot nor cold. Jesus has spewed you out. How many churches have been spewed out? I do not know. And they're still functioning. There is no one to knock. Romans 8:28. Now this scripture has been misunderstood by so many people, even Christians. They live their own way, they live their own life, they live according to their own emotions and their will, and they enjoy pleasure, just visit the church on a Sunday, maybe in the midweek prayer meeting, and then, you know, there's no difference between, there's no power in their ministry, first of all, they do not know their calling. How can there be power? There's a form of godliness without denying its power. Now, Romans 8:28 says, it's a famous scripture they quote, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. And if there's suddenly anything happens for these people, or so the money is stolen, or something happens, they say, well, maybe something is for good, some good purpose. But the words, the scripture says, there are two conditions here where God's everything will work out for good for those people. Now these people should meet these two conditions. They love God, they are called according to his purpose. When we love him and we are in his call, we are following his call, we are walking in his call, we are doing the good works, for those people all things will work together for good, not for others. Please, if anybody quotes this scripture, ask them, are you in his call? If they ask you, what do you mean call? Then you immediately know they have no right to quote 8:28 Romans. Don't ask them whether you love God, because everybody will say yes. Can you see that? So it's so specific that all things will work together for good for those who love him and those who are in his call. Called according to his purpose, not our purpose, not our plans. This is so important. Very, very, very important. God is not going to adjust his plans to us. We have to adjust our life to his plans. That's so vital. You see, we have to adjust our lives. Now, for just information, they say, according to some true statistics, one servant of God is available for every 280 people in the United States. How many servants of God? One. But outside United States, say the third world, or they call third world because it's poor, the Asia and all the other places, other continents, one servant of God is only available for every 450,000 people. So when things are like this, where would you like to be? Are you listening? Maybe you are listening for the 10th time. Where would you like to be? Outside the United States, one servant of God for every 450,000 people. Why not be where you are needed? Half the population of the earth have not heard the gospel even once. We need to tell them. They need to hear. What they do with the message is not your responsibility, it is theirs. But we need to tell them. How can they hear unless somebody tells them, the Bible says. So even you are hearing this, even today, is no accident. It's not a ghost who is speaking to you. I know God has kept me here still some more for a further time. Do not know when it'll end, but as long as it is, the message will be the same. You are saved, you are called. This is a real problem in the churches all over. If the churches, at least 50% of the people, they know that they're called for something, they will rise up and they will do that work, and that city can be won. Amen. Here is not that. We believe in programs. Our own programs and plans. We never allow the Holy Spirit to to do anything by his own. See? So I think we will stop there. We will continue later with the message of God's call. That's it, that your lifestyle, your events of your life has been already written.